to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 82 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, it's all about Star Wars Weekends. As you know, in the spring, Star Wars Weekends comes back to Disney Hollywood Studios, and tonight's show, we're going to talk all about it. With us tonight, we have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Hey Sam, how's it going?
Outstanding. This is a great topic. I love it.
Yeah, I know. Star Wars, how can you lose with this? And we also have our friend from the parks, John Campos, the man in the park. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
So we're going to talk about Star Wars Weekends tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of it, how it's changed, and definitely what's coming up for this year. Both the gentlemen I have with me tonight are going to be attending, and you know they've done their homework. So where do we want to start, guys?
I'll give some background. It starts from May 15th all the way to June 14th. And the two highlights are Ian McDermott, who played the Emperor, and Frank Oz, that played Yoda. So, Ian McDermott's the first weekend, May 15th through the 17th, and Frank Oz is the last weekend, June 12th through the 14th. They'll be doing shows throughout the days, but they will not be signing autographs.
And what kind of shows?
Talk shows, which is hosted by James Arnold Taylor, who was the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Clone Wars. So they do talk shows through the afternoon with the stars throughout the weekends.
Oh, very cool. Now, is that kind of like those Comic-Con shows they have with casts up on the stage?
Exactly. If you saw Star Wars Celebration that was last couple weeks ago, it's exact same thing.
Gotcha. Very cool.
We'll step back just a second. Star Wars Weekends at Disney's Hollywood Studios. First started all the way back in 1997. Star Wars Weekends, 1997. Then it went away for a couple of years. Came back in 2000 and 2001. Went away and then has been with us ever since 2003. And what this is a weekend Star Wars celebration. Let's call it that, at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Hosted right within the park, there are special events, special parades, special merchandise, special attractions like the shows. There's lots of things that happen, and if you are a Star Wars fan, this is the place to be, especially with the coming new episode of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, that we have coming. So there's lots of things happening at Hollywood Studios. There have been a couple of things that have come and gone in regards to Star Wars Weekends, but we're pretty much set with being able to attend a day of Star Wars celebration, autographs, as I mentioned, shopping with special events, special merchandise that you can only get during Star Wars Weekends. For example, a Darth Vader magic band that I got last year that I absolutely love and still wear to this day. Special events and special packages that Disney's added recently. So this is your opportunity to feel the Force if you're a Star Wars fan, Star Wars Weekends.
Oh, it always sounds like a fun time, and unfortunately I've never been able to get down to it. I've heard so many good stories about how much great stuff there is to do, but I've also heard a little bit about the crowds, though.
I think that's why Disney has done these packages that fill the Force package, where you have private seating or area to watch the fireworks and the parade during the day, and they have added a premium package this year where you get a fast pass to each of the shows and front-of-the-line access to the Darth Maul gift shop as well.
There's definitely some cool things that have evolved over the years. If you go all the way back, Star Wars Weekends was, in essence, that, a weekend, and has grown to last year, 2014, being expanded to 5 weekends. Once again, in 2015, it is 5 weekends, starting May the 15th through June 14th. Now, it traditionally had been the last 2 weeks in May and the first 2 weeks in June. I know that I, on family trips, have been able to time it so that that first Star Wars Weekends overlaps with Epcot's Flower and Garden Festival, which is sort of cool. One of the big things that they've had is the merchandise. And lots of people lining up to get these limited edition pins and vinyl mations and lithographs and magic bands and you name it. One of the things that they started last year for the first time is something that they called the Rebel Rendezvous. It's back this year for 2015. They're calling it the Galactic Gathering. And here's what's interesting about this. This is a ticketed event which gives you early access to Star Wars Weekends merchandise. In fact, for 2014, if you purchase by going to DisneyParksMerchandise.com, you can purchase a pass to the Galactic Gathering, which allows you to get into Darth Maul, right? This is the shopping location, and we'll talk about that in a second, on Thursday before the event opens on Friday, so Thursday, May 14th, from 10 until 3, where you get access to pre-purchase those limited edition items. You also get some special little additions like a magic band. You also get a pass so that you can enter Dollar Malls early on all 5 weekends. You can do the early Detect Me experience. There's some Detect Me phone cases. There's even Star Wars themed Dooney and Burke handbags. There's special gift cards that you can purchase. You name it. It goes on and on as far as what you can get. And you can get all of this access for $250 per person.
I'm going to be laughing a lot tonight, I think.
So for $250 a person, you get access to go in early to shop. Although you do get some special goodies. But obviously this was big because 2014 is the first time they did it. It was called Rebel Rendezvous, as I mentioned. Now it's Galactic Gathering. It's still there, and it's still available.
Okay, now between the two of you, tell me what is the souvenir you're going to be waiting online, you're going to pay $200+ to go on Thursday to buy, and how much is it going to cost me?
I will go first. And new merchandise from the new movie. I've heard there's some T-shirts and mugs from the Force Awakens movie that's coming out in December that will be available at Star Wars Weekends. So,
okay, good.
That could be cool. I'm looking at some of the merchandise that they have on their website. Big figs are always big. There are new things out every year. Looks like one that's kind of cool is Huey, Dewey, and Louie is Jawas, and they're rescuing the droid.
Oh, that would cool. be funny. Now, real quick, take a step back. Now, you mentioned this is on their website. Whose website?
That's correct. I am at – this is Disney's website, and this is going to DisneyParksMerchandise.com. That's specifically where you will find the Galactic Gathering details.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Although that said, I will give you another URL that's new this year, and that's StarWarsWeekends.com with an S. StarWarsWeekends.com will take you to the Disney Star Wars Weekend site within the Disney web portal. And you'll get lots of details on Star Wars Weekends there. So very easy to remember, StarWarsWeekends.com.
Okay, great. Now, I did see the main page on the Walt Disney page for Hollywood Studios, and they mentioned the events for Star Wars Weekends. So it's nice to see there's a more like specialized site for it.
Exactly.
So if you hit that, you get some of the good stuff that happens. And, of course, at a high level, there's autographs. Jedi Training Academy, which is always around, is there, a little bigger than normal. Star Tours, The Adventure Continues, obviously, is still there. The Star Wars Dine in Galactic Breakfast. The Star Wars Dine at Hollywood and Vine, including a Fantasmic package. And, of course, the VIP packages, which we'll talk to in just a second.
Okay, now, as far as Darth Maul, before we get too far away from it, where is that located?
That's a great question, and that has changed over the years, right? So it has been in a tent in a backstage area behind the Rock and Roller Coaster. It has also, and most recently, been in Soundstage 1, or the Hot Set, which is currently under construction for the expanded Toy Story Mania. So that's changing for 2015 in this location, right, John?
Yes, sir. It's going to be in the old American Film Institute and also have tents around the streets of America near where the train made the little U-turn on the street as well.
So back where the streets of America were, right, where the Backlot tour actually went, I'm anticipating some tents. In fact, one of their press releases had indicated there were tents that would go up, and also the area that was the American Film Institute. Or there's actually lots of space back there now that the Backlot tour is closed. So there's lots of places where they can put it, which is kind of interesting. So maybe a bigger Darth Maul this year.
Which would be nice compared to last year when you had people standing out an hour and a half, 2 hours trying to get in, especially on the first weekend. And once you got in, you couldn't move. It was very limited space inside last year.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't appreciate that at all. I don't like shopping to begin with, let alone not being able to shop. A quick question about it now. If I'm going to Star Wars Weekends and I'm getting there on Sunday of the first weekend, now we've had the Thursday pre-sell, we've had Friday, Saturday, people being through there. Will there be anything left for me on Sunday?
There's usually stuff every weekend that's quote-unquote limited releases. I've been there on the third, fourth weekend, and there's still limited merchandise that they were selling the first weekend, and everyone was panicked that it was going to be sold out, and it was still there on the third or fourth weekend.
So it might be a little exaggerated.
Exactly. So there are going to be lots of Star Wars weekend themed merchandise, right? T-shirts, lots of things like that. They'll be everywhere. There will be a Star Wars Weekends pin that will most likely be available. But that said, there are also limited edition pins that are only 500 of or 2,500 of, and those tend to sell out faster. And those limited edition of 500 are what the people are waiting in line for. Or the Vinylmation, which this year, if you picture a Vinylmation, the Mickey head is a Death Star, which looks really cool when you look at it. I don't know how many of those they're making, but I expect something like that that's never been offered before to go quickly. But to answer your question, getting there on Sunday, there'll be merchandise. Will it be the great stuff? Hard to tell. But I can tell you that last year I went the last weekend, which was weekend 5, and that happened to be the first weekend that they introduced the limited edition magic bands and a whole bunch of limited edition Father's Day t-shirts, which were only available that last weekend. So there was some value in being there for weekend 5 versus weekend 1. So I think it's just going to vary. Look, if you're a diehard fan and you want to get that limited edition piece, the $250 to get that package up front, you know, you're probably going to do that. Now, unfortunately, a lot of those people are probably going straight to eBay with some of that merchandise, which sort of messes it up for everybody else, but that's the reality of what's happening.
Because you'll see Thursday night people started camping out around 10 p.m., 11 p.m. for merchandise and also for autograph fast passes as well.
So really, for Friday morning opening, they're starting out Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. I've heard the early morning lineup, like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., that type of thing. Not like 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Wow.
Thursday night of last year, before the first weekend, park closed at 9. And by 9:30, you saw people with lawn chairs sitting out in front of studios waiting for fast passes for merchandise.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So let's talk about a couple of things there. One, pre-planning. John, you mentioned fast passes. And I want to make sure I point out that right now, if you have a trip booked for Star Wars weekends and you're going to be there, you can get fast passes for some of the events that are going to be happening. And we'll touch base more on those. But any of the celebrity shows, any of the there's a special Star Wars Rebels show that's happening in the Theater of the Stars, you can get fast passes for those ahead of time. What you have to get the day of is a fast pass for an autograph. So there are celebrities that will be there for every weekend. James Arnold Taylor, once again, hosts Star Wars weekends, and he is there for all of the 5 weekends. Now, all of the others, there are different celebrities that attend that will sign autographs. Now, to guarantee that you're going to get that autograph, you need to get a fast pass and a wristband. To get those, you get them outside of the park as you're approaching Hollywood Studios on the right-hand side. There will be cast members, and last year those cast members had fast passes in their hands that they would hand you and then put a wristband on you for whatever fast pass you wanted.
So like a paper wristband, not like the nice magic bands.
Correct. We're talking a paper wristband that you would tear off after you got your autograph.
Right.
Now, depending on who's there, depends on the line. So as John mentioned, there are 2 people that have never been there before, right? That's Ian McDiarmid, who is the Emperor Palpatine in Star Wars, and the other on the last weekend, who has never been to Star Wars weekends, is Frank Oz. How cool is that?
Big time. And not even just for Star Wars.
Exactly. So, right. Now, I will also add, last year, 2014, Mark Hamill was there. Mark did not sign autographs. He was there for the stage shows, and he was there for the motorcade, but he didn't sign autographs. I don't know if Frank Oz will or will not be signing autographs.
Disney has said neither Frank or Ian will be signing autographs.
There you go. So now those that will, I can go down the list here pretty quickly. And some of these names you may recognize, others you won't. Ashley Eckstein is there the first weekend. She does sign autographs and meet people. She tends to push her universe line quite a bit too, which we can talk about later. Warwick Davis is going to be there. I would love to see Warwick Davis. I think that would be incredible. Who else do we have here? Steve Bloom, who's one of the voices from Rebels, Daniel Logan, Ray Park, who is Darth Maul, who I understand does a great show that talks about all the martial arts that are part of that character, which I think would be really cool. Jeremy Bullock, Peter Mayhew, who is Chewbacca. I met Peter. He was absolutely incredible. And in fact, you can take things and he will autograph, and some of them will. So you'll see people with a Chewbacca toy that's still in the box that Peter will autograph. So there's some interesting things that happen there.
And just to say one more thing about the autographs, they also allow walk-ups. It depends on how many ticketed people go through the line and how long the celebrity wants to sign autographs. But there's also a chance if you want to sit by the line that they will do walk-ups as well. So
yeah, there is for each of – do you know where the autograph location is going to be this year, John? I know in the past it's been around Echo Lake. I don't know if that's where it's going to be again or not.
That's where I've heard it's going to be, but I haven't read anything official from Disney that – but that's where my guess would be.
Gotcha. So here's what Disney's website says regarding the fast passes. You must have a fast pass ticket to receive an autograph. To receive a fast pass ticket, join the line of the celebrity you would most want to meet. You may not save a place in line for others in your party. So in other words, there are 4 of you, you can't show up with 4 tickets and get 4 fast passes like you used to be able to do with a machine. There needs to be 4 people's arms to put wristbands on when you do that. While you're in line, you will receive a wristband. Your wristband, along with your theme park ticket or pass, will entitle you to receive 1 autographed fast pass ticket. one per distribution per guest. Each guest will be permitted to receive one. After you receive your Fastpass ticket, continue to wear your wristband. You will need to be wearing your wristband to get the autograph. Your Fastpass ticket will have a designated autograph return time. Until that time, you may enjoy other Star Wars Weekends activities, of course. Once Fastpass tickets for visiting guests have been distributed, you may return a limited number of standby tickets with a return time. Standby tickets do not guarantee you an autograph.
You've covered autographs pretty well. That's one aspect of the weekend, and we talked about the merchandising. So now let's talk about the shows a little bit.
Absolutely. So the shows historically have taken place in the Premier Theater. And in fact, you know, I have to mention for a lot of this stuff, I have some videos over at Sam's Disney Diary, including James Arnold Taylor last year, 2014, in the Premier Theater doing his Obi-Wan and Beyond, which is great voice impression. There are shows every weekend. Things like Behind the Force, Star Wars Rebels. So Star Wars Rebels is starting to get a lot of attention at Star Wars Weekends.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to continue that? Second season, stuff like that?
Yes, it's going to start in the summer and go to the fall. They released the trailer at Celebration 2 weeks ago.
Cool. And you can get a fast pass for Behind the Force, Star Wars Rebels. In fact, something interesting that I noticed when I was doing my fast pass selection, I think everybody knows that Hollywood Studios has two tiers of fast passes. There's tier Group A and Group B. In Group A, you can select one attraction, and Group B, you select the other two. So typically it's okay, are you going to take Fantasmic, Rock and Roller Coaster, or Toy Story Mania, because you can get one of those and then you pick two other things. The Behind the Force Star Wars Rebels was considered Tier A. So that was considered one of their premier selections for Fast Passes, which I thought was interesting.
You're expecting a big turnout.
And they must be. So you can get that Fast Pass, which essentially lets you into the, last year, lets you into the Premier Theater. This year, the location of the shows is changing as well, right, John?
Yes, sir. Over to the Theater of the Stars on Sunset Boulevard.
So Theater of the Stars is where the Beauty and the Beast stage show takes place.
So now, okay, well, it's in the Beauty and the Beast Theater, and it's going to be Star Wars weekend. Does that mean they're going to cover up all that really frilly Beauty and the Beast stage? What am I looking for the word? The way the stage looked?
From what I've been told, they're going to have 2 to 3 Beauty and the Beast shows in the morning and then transform the stage in the afternoon to a Star Wars stage for all the talk shows that go from, I think, 2 to 7:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And looking at last year, the first show was at 1:45. So if you are going to, and a lot of people ask me this, okay, I'm going to Hollywood Studios at Star Wars Weekends, do I want to skip it if I'm not a Star Wars fan? Well, here, the Beauty and the Beast stage show will happen in the morning. So there's going to be an early 1, 2, maybe even 3 performances before that theater is transitioned to the Star Wars talk show. Which, to your question, Ed, means whatever they do, they have to be able to do it pretty quick and then undo it just as quick for the next day, right?
Exactly.
Sure. And I guess it could be as easy as just really big flats they would just cover everything up with.
It could be.
What it does say, though, is that it does give you a chance, if you do a little planning, to still hit almost everything at Hollywood Studios during Star Wars weekend that isn't Star Wars.
That's correct. Right? So cool. Tower of Terror doesn't change. Rock and Roller Coaster doesn't change. Toy Story Mania doesn't change. The Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular doesn't change. All of those things are just like they always were.
Right. So.
Now, there's also a parade, which happens earlier in the day. This is the Star Wars Celebrity Motorcade. And now the cool thing here, and we've talked about this before, is that it features members of the 501 Legion. Is that it? Is it the 501st?
501st, yep. Star Trooper Legion or wherever they're from.
There you go. The 500. So you get essentially a parade of Star Wars characters that's absolutely incredible, coming right down Hollywood Boulevard. And once that parade has entered, then you'll get the motorcade, which is the open air cars where you have all of the celebrities that will be introduced and come right down Hollywood Boulevard to the main stage, which used to be a sorcerer's hat, and we really don't know what it's going to be this year, right? But it still says they're going to go to the main stage. Not sure where or what yet, but it's interesting. The parade's definitely cool.
Definitely, especially for like Mark Hamill last year and Ian McDiarmid and Frank Oz is a great way to see them since they're not doing autographs.
Oh, right. You get some great pictures. Okay, well, help me out now. I haven't gone, so I'm in the park. I want to watch the parade. Where does it start from, and where's probably one of the best spots I can kind of hang out and watch it from?
It starts right by Sid Kalinka's, and that'll to the left, and then goes...
So at the entrance of the park?
It starts at the front of the park, yes.
Correct. Goes all the way down Sunset, goes to the stage. They do a little show at the stage, and then the celebrities go back in the cars to the front of the park as well.
So do the cars stop, let them out, and just hang out there, or...?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. And you know what? It's a great point, because a lot of people don't realize that. The celebrities come out, they get introduced. James Arnold Taylor does a little song and dance thing, literally, I think. They get back in the cars, and then it's almost the reverse parade of just the celebrities. So at this point, the 501st has moved on, and they're backstage wherever they go. But the celebrities come back down Hollywood Boulevard, and they reintroduce them the other direction. So it's almost like two parades in one.
And a lot of people don't wait for the second parade. They just watch the stage show and then go eat lunch or do an attraction. So if you just want to see the celebrities, when they come back down the street, it's easier to get a spot on the street to see them.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a good plan. You're right.
So, and of course, while all of this is happening, there are Star Wars characters all over the park. You name, whether it's Jedi Mickey and your classic Disney characters dressed up in Star Wars gear to Star Wars characters, and there's tons of them, whether it's Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker or R2-D2's always there, Darth Vader you'll find, Darth Maul you'll find, there'll be Ewoks, Jango Fett, Jawas, you name it. You're going to find Star Wars characters everywhere. So make sure you grab a map when you get there, which will give you the details on where all of those characters are and the photo opportunities, if that's what you're into, because I know a lot of people go for that specifically.
So on that special Star Wars map, they'll tell me exactly where the character is for the photo op?
They will tell you the locations of characters, and I'm looking at last year. It doesn't exactly tell you where characters are, although a couple of them are spotted here, not all of them. So Jedi Mickey and... R2MK, which is the R2-D2 with Mickey ears, tends to swap places with Goofy Vader. So they call him Vader Goofy. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be right to the left, right in front of the ABC commissary to the left of the Great Movie Ride. That's where those guys hang out. And then you'll find others with some pretty cool little photo opportunities. For example, there are some backdrops that look like the package of a Star Wars action figure that you would buy, and you compose inside that and get your picture taken as if you are one of those characters.
And Chewie's by the Star Tours speeder that has the backdrop of Endor, so it's cool to take a picture.
The Ewoks kind of switch off with Chewie, so it's Chewie for 15 minutes and then Ewoks for 15 minutes. There's also Chip and Dale as Ewoks, which I think is kind of cool. The fan costumes are incredible, too. I have to at least mention that. The costumes that people will show up in the Florida heat, are absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. They are pretty authentic looking, too, most part. I tell you, the characters that really get my attention are the bounty hunters. They go really above and beyond with the bounty hunters, who really aren't major characters at all. But every time I see a video of the parade or the shows or any of the hoopla, it's always the bounty hunters that really stand out.
Yeah, Aurora Singh, for sure. That's a heck of a bounty hunter.
Now, real quick, I just wanted to let you guys know, there's a website that I follow, Kenny the Pirate. And he has a website that basically follows all the characters in Walt Disney World. If you want to see a specific character, you can go over to KennyThePirate.com and you can find exactly where they'll be in the park and what times they'll be. What's cool is they have a map of Hollywood Studios, and it looks like they have specific locations for where the characters are going to be around there, where they'll have, I guess, be there for picture opportunities. Really cool how they have everybody there.
That is good.
So, and we'll throw a link up later on for this.
Sure. And the Stormtroopers and the Bounty Hunters move around the backlot to the streets of America and Pixar Place, so it's cool to see them interact with people, and some people try to get a picture, and they'll just look the other way and make them interact with the character itself.
Yeah, you find Tusken Raiders back there, too. I remember that last year.
Do the Stormtroopers interact? Like, I know it's a lot of volunteer guys coming to the park, but can you talk to them and get them to respond, like, you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for type of stuff?
Actually, last year they just started having talking to when they go on break, saying we need to go check on something, and very automated messages. And if somebody asks them for an autograph, they'll go, not right now, we're on patrol. And that kind of stuff. So you can't have a conversation with them, but they have standard replies to standard questions.
Cool. Oh, very fun.
You know, speaking of the Stormtroopers, if I can very quickly, we forgot to mention the Stormtrooper welcome, which happens in the morning. So if you're one of those people in line at 7 o'clock in the morning or whenever it might be, there is a pretty, I won't call it a welcome show like we listened to in last week's Over at the Magic Kingdom, but it is a Stormtrooper welcome where there are some Stormtroopers patrolling Hollywood Studios back and forth, and there is a little interaction between them before they open Hollywood Studios, which is unique to Star Wars Weekends.
Exactly. Sure.
Okay. So now we've covered a lot of stuff, and how about the fireworks? Now that's only been the recent couple of years, hasn't it?
Last year was the first year. Absolutely. So if I go down here a little bit, we talked about the Stormtrooper welcome, the autographs, the motorcades at 11 o'clock. There are some question and answer sessions that are part of the celebrity talk show. There are also other things that happen on the event stage, like the Padawan Mind Challenge, which is where Ashley Eckstein will ask questions and almost do like a game show type of a thing. And that ultimately later leads into the Symphony in the Stars and the DJ Lobot dance party.
Excuse me? So the DJ what?
DJ Lobot.
Lobot. I thought you said Lobot. Okay, moving on.
Lobot. DJ Lobot dance party. I will make sure I'm better. So at 7 o'clock, essentially, they start a dance party from that center stage, whatever it's going to be. And that is the lead in to the Symphony in the Stars stage show and the fireworks.
Okay, now the stage show is like, what's that all about?
It's basically just a big photo op. This show is going to change a little bit from last year to this year. It's just the Rebels come out first, and then Darth Vader comes out at the end, and then everyone gets on stage right before the fireworks, and then...
Villains?
Correct.
Do they have... I guess we should say the Empire.
The Empire. This sound... John, you sounded like somebody that's upset that the hyperspace hoopla is still gone.
I was a huge fan of the hyperspace hoopla.
That's exactly what you just sounded like. Well, it's a big photo opportunity.
Which it is. It's the same thing as the parade when everyone's on stage as it is at night. It's just at night. It's all it is.
And for, right, but you...
And for a person waiting from 4 p.m. to 8:30 front row to film it, it was kind of a letdown, to say the least. So hopefully it changes a little bit this year.
I've seen audio. I'm sorry. I've seen video of the hoopla over the last maybe 4 years before they stopped it, and you gotta admit it looks very similar every year. I think they just changed locations maybe, but other than that, you literally have almost the same dance numbers coming out, the same type of music and all. So I can kind of see where it went away, but I could really enjoy being there though. It looks like everybody was having a blast.
It's exactly what you said. It's a lot better in person than it is watching it on YouTube, and a lot of locals enjoyed it. So there was a lot of locals that came out each night of the weekends to watch the hoopla.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, so they don't have that anymore.
They don't, but they have the stage show and the fireworks, which you can see. In fact, some of that front row video that John just talked about is part of Sam's Disney Diary number 50, which also includes some VIP experiences, which we'll talk about here in a second.
Oh, right, definitely. Yeah, let's move right into that, because there's nothing wrong with food and drink.
There's nothing at all wrong with food and drink. So let's start with food first, and we mentioned this. Last year, Disney introduced two dining opportunities at Star Wars Weekends. One being the Jedi Mickey Star Wars Dine at Hollywood and Vine, and the other being the Star Wars Galactic Dine-In Breakfast. Now, this year, in 2014, last year, they were only available on Star Wars Weekends. So you could only book those Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, they must have been a success, because this year, you can book them from May the 4th, right? May the 4th be with you, all the way through the end of Star Wars Weekends, June 5th, 14th. And you can book any day of the week. So you can do the Star Wars breakfast on a Wednesday before Star Wars Weekends even opens. So that's kind of interesting that they expanded those themed meals. And I think it's a sign of things to come in studios with some of the expansion that we know is on the wraps.
Perhaps being a more permanent thing.
Exactly.
Yep. I did participate in the Galactic Dine-In Breakfast. If you're familiar with the sci-fi dine-in theater, they completely change the way it feels inside. It's still the same cars. You're still in the same Hollywood Hills theater, but now you're watching Star Wars clips. You're watching some really interesting Star Wars cartoons and little intermission clips that they made specifics for Star Wars Weekends. And you find Jawas and Greedo and Darth Vader and some other characters inside of the theater. And it's really, really cool and fun. In fact, the Jawas, one of the things I found was the coolest was the Jawas like to barter. So they'll come over to your table and they'll see if you have something interesting and they'll try to trade you for it. So if you have something when you're there, it's kind of cool to have something the shinier, the better, or the cooler looking it looks, they might trade you something for it. So I had a dead battery that I told them was a power modulator, and I traded that for something. I don't remember. But it worked out pretty good.
Oh, awesome. Pretty cool experience.
And especially like Darth Vader and Boba Fett, where you don't have to wait in a 45-minute line to meet them and take all the photos you want, basically, right when you get inside the restaurant.
And you know, John, that's a great point. You are paying for the character interaction here. Make sure that you understand that going in. This is like going to Chef's Mickey. You pay more for that breakfast, but you get to see Mickey and Minnie and Donald and all the characters. You pay a little more for breakfast, although it is all you can eat. It's not a buffet, but they'll bring you as many entrees as you want for breakfast. You're paying for that character interaction. And if that's what you want, this absolutely is worth it.
Exactly.
Now, on that same note, after meals, let's talk a little bit about the premium packages that they introduced last year and the fact that they expanded those a little bit this year. So there is a Feel the Force premium package, which John alluded to a little earlier, which requires a reservation. What it does is get you a viewing area that's reserved for the Legends of the Force motorcade, which includes complimentary soft drinks and water. And in fact, I participated in this last year, and they even had some Mickey bars, which was kind of cool. You also get new this year reserved seating for one of the talk shows held in the Theater of the Stars. You get to choose your show when you check in. I plan to do this again this year, and I'll let you know later how that works out. You also get a reserved viewing location for the Symphony in the Stars fireworks. And a Star Wars themed dessert party, which is absolutely incredible. That includes specialty drinks, specialty cupcakes, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. It really is a cool place to hang out, to sort of unwind, enjoy the dance party, and get ready for the fireworks.
Exactly. And you don't have 10,000 people trying to push you, trying to get a better spot than you, waiting for the fireworks or waiting for the show before the fireworks. There's a lot of space to relax, have the drinks, have the dessert, and enjoy the show, as Sam said.
Absolutely.
So now both of you did this last year. How many other people were with you in the VIP area?
I will say that video of exactly what we did is Sam's Disney Diary number 50. It was not packed with people, but there was plenty of room to stand around, to walk around. There was availability the day of last year. There was a big sign when you walked in, sign up for Fill the Force. I want to say there were a few hundred maybe in a space that could easily accommodate 500 maybe. Again, this is guessing, but if you go watch that video, you'll see some of that. And that last year ran us, I think it was $55 a person. This year it's $70 a person plus tax. That's for an adult. A child ages 3 to 9 is $40.
Almost like another day in the park.
You are getting the dessert party. You are getting the water and Mickey bar and a place to watch the parade and a place to watch the fireworks and access to one of the celebrity talk shows. That's what you're getting.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry if I missed it. Where did you get where was the parade VIP area?
The parade VIP area was essentially the same place as where we watched the fireworks, which was, if you know where Min and Bill's Dockside Diner is, that's sort of where you check in, and that whole area on the left is where the VIP section was. So if you're looking at where the Sorcerer's Hat was, or looking at the Chinese Theater, it's on the left-hand side.
That's pretty cool. After the last car goes down the street, they lead you to the front of the stage. So when they do the little sing and dance and photo op during the day after the parade, you're right front row, which is pretty cool.
That was the Fill the Force Premium Package, which you can book at mydisneyexperience.com. You can log in and book it just like booking a dining reservation. You do have to pay for that up front. Now, a new one that they added for 2015 is the Feel the Force Deluxe Premium Package. So they threw the word deluxe in there. Essentially, it's the same thing with a couple of changes. Number one, you get reserved seating for all of the celebrity talk shows, not just one of them. And you also get priority access to Darth's Maul on the day of the package. And you get a commander of lanyard and credentials. So a little different. You get everything you got in the regular package plus a couple of extra things.
How do you explain priority access to Darth Maul?
Meaning you get to go in front of the line before it opens is what I interpret that to be. John, would you agree?
Exactly. That's what I...
So that's a real pain.
Well, if there's a long line at Darth Maul, you have priority access. You show up at 9 a.m. and walk right in the front door.
Gotcha. Okay, well then let me ask you this. If there's more than one person, who gets in front of who that has the premium package? That's going to be a
There
nice
must be some
place.
Wrestling there for that.
Or they have a separate small line that has the premium package. It's like Fastpass Plus is what I'm taking it as. So five premium people come in and then they allow general admission and rotate people in, is what I think.
Okay, well, I want you guys to count how many premiums they have.
Won't be deluxe premium. Well, and I'll tell you why. So here's the difference. The Fill the Force premium package is $69 a day. The deluxe premium package is $99 for an adult, $64 for a kid. So essentially for $30 extra, you are getting all three shows, a commemorative lanyard, and access to Darth Maul. That's what you get for $30. At that point, is $30 more that much? I don't think so, but I will tell you that for this one, you have to call Disney to book it. You have to call their 407-939-3463, which is their special events number, and I've not been able to get in. Nobody either understands or knows about this package, or it's just, sorry, we don't have access to it. So there's some interesting things happening here with this one.
We'll have to ask Jimmy about that, see if he has any connections.
You know what? We are going to ask Jimmy. Get me in there.
Yeah.
So, and that's not it. There's more. How about that? Because you can also enjoy, right, if the deluxe premium package isn't enough, you can enjoy the ultimate day at Star Wars Weekend's VIP tour. How about that? Now, this one, you get even more. You get premium seating at all the shows. You get expedited access to select attractions, which means they're throwing in fast passes for you. You get reserve viewing for the Legend of the Force motorcade. You get one opportunity to meet a character from the dark side. It doesn't say who. You get early access to Darth Maul with no waiting required. You get a private deluxe continental breakfast in the Hollywood Brown Derby. So the Brown Derby was not part of the other two packages. Remember, it was Hollywood and Vine and the Dine-In Theater. You also get a table service lunch at Hollywood Studios. You get post-tour access to the Jedi Training Academy for any kids in your party. And you also get the VIP viewing for Summon the Force finale and Symphony in the Stars fireworks. How about that?
Wow. 4 days at the park. How much does it cost?
$399 per guest. So, yes.
There you go.
4 days. If you have 1 day and money is not an issue, you'll get to do everything, right?
Right. Perfect.
And that's where that fits. So that's the I want to do everything. Oh, and by the way, throw in a fast pass for Toy Story Mania because I'm going to do that while I'm there. That's where that comes in. So they're definitely starting to cater to these special events. And it will be interesting to see after Star Wars Weekends. Right, we expect that very quickly the Frozen Summer Fun's going to roll right in, and I can't wait to see some of those packages that Disney pulls together.
Because they had the Frozen Osborne Lights
I would do it
package last night. So, last year. So it'll be interesting to see if they do anything for Frozen Summer Fun as well.
Hey, I got another cool thing that you can do in Star Wars Weekends this year. The whole D-Technique, Urban Freeze Me, and figures are back. In Darth Maul, which, by the way, last year when Darth Maul was in the Soundstage 1, they had Admiral Ackbar's snack bar in there, which I thought was really cool. I hope it's in the new place. John, wasn't there a new shop that they mentioned for the new Darth Maul?
Lotto's Grotto. So
nice.
Yep, from Episode 1. So that will be part of Darth Maul this year.
That's cool. That's really cool. So back at Carbon Freeze Me, they've expanded what you can get. Now, I did this once upon a time. I have the Sam Frozen and Carbonite on my desk at home. And it was cool at the time. And I thought, yeah, okay, no problem. But they continue to expand what you can do over here. And now you can do not only the 3D 8-inch figures, right? It can be Frozen Carbonite. You can do a Jedi this year. You can also do a trying to find it here.
TIE Fighter Pilot.
TIE Fighter Pilot, that's it. That's it. And the big one this year, is it 16 inches, John?
That's what I've heard was 16.
So there is a 16-inch figure that you can pre-order for $999.
Wow.
Oh, it's cheap.
Make your Star Wars dreams come true. Freeze yourself in carbonite. New D-Tech Me figures for 2015 include Jedi Knight and the TIE Fighter Pilot, the Stormtrooper, a random princess. So they're doing a princess here for the girls. That's interesting. An X-Wing Pilot from the previous year is still available. Both male and female options and a 16-inch figure is available, as well as the smaller 7-inch sizes. The 7-inch figures are $149 each, plus shipping and handling. The 16-inch figure is $999.95, plus shipping and handling. If I remember right, when I did this the first year it came out, it was $99 for the 7-inch. Now it's $149. So that's gone up over time, too.
Progress.
Yeah.
Progress.
It's going to be the same with the dessert party. It's going to be over $100 before you know it. So.
It is. That went up as well. Star Wars Weekends is
sure.
I won't miss it. I'm looking forward to finding out what the souvenir bucket will be this year and the souvenir mug. Last year, the bucket was Darth Vader. The year before, it was R2-D2. The mug last year was a Stormtrooper.
Okay, here's my prediction. C-3PO head.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
I'm mentioning about the Stormtrooper mug. That sold out the first day and had nothing until the second weekend. Saturday and Sunday had nothing. Those went faster than any other thing in the park. So that was the hot.
So picture, you know, hey, the Disney nerds, you guys do Mug Monday. Picture a Stormtrooper mug with a flip top where the helmet flips up and you drink right out of it. And last year it was an R2-D2 mug. Or 2 years ago, R2-D2 mug and popcorn bucket. Did that both. And I remember this because it was the age-old question. Can I get my R2-D2 mug filled with Yingling? And the answer was, no, sir, but I can sell you both the mug and the Yingling, and you can do whatever you want with them. Okay, thank you. And that's what I did.
Nice. Real quick, we're at 55 minutes.
Yeah.
So, are we going to have even time for the question?
You want to try it and see how it comes out? It's up to you, Ed. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we could try it. I could always just cut the whole segment out if it doesn't. Okay. So, we'll do it right from this break on. Okay, well, Sam, before we finish tonight for Star Wars Weekend information, I know we did get a question about it in our email.
We absolutely did. In fact, questions at the Disney Nerds. Send us anything that you have. We have a few questions in the queue, which we'll get to, but I happen to have one that is Star Wars Weekends related. So I thought I would read that question really quickly, and then John and I, we can do our best at this.
Sounds good.
So it starts, hey, amazing Disney Nerds hosts. Thank you so much. And it goes on. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, with my wife and two kids, ages 5 and 2. My wife is a Disney nerd, as she has been going nearly every spring break since she was a kid. So she's put the mouths on to be called a nerd. I went once as a child with good memories of it, but it wasn't until we went with my family for the first time that I really became hooked on the place. Ultimately, I am more a Star Wars nerd, but I think we're all one big happy family now that Disney owns Star Wars, right? Yes, absolutely. That's the answer to the first question. So it goes on. Yes, we're one big happy family, and being a Disney nerd is awesome. And for that matter, if you're a Muppet nerd or a Marvel nerd with their universe, that's all part of it. It goes on. My family and I are going down to Star Wars weekends for a second trip in as many years. This year, we're lucky enough to have our trip overlap with that Star Wars weekend. I'm a very big Star Wars fan. My family and I are regular Star Wars fans. We aren't in any of the parks on May 30th, but we have reservations at the Sci-Fi Dine-In on Sunday evening for Star Wars character dinner. Outstanding. You'll love it. Originally, I thought we would spend the whole day in Hollywood Studios. But as my wife and I talked it through, it makes more sense to go to Epcot in the morning, as touring plans shows that to have a lower crowd index. We would head back to French Quarter for a nap, then head over to Hollywood Studios for afternoon/evening. What is your collective recommendation for the situation? Will we still have a good Star Wars experience at Hollywood Studios that late in the day? Thanks and love the show. Matt. Matt, thank you very much. Matt from Cincinnati. So a couple of things there. Any thoughts, John, initially?
Well, it's Sunday, so that's the least crowded day of the weekend for Star Wars. You can do the characters, you can do Star Tours. I know Star Wars Rebels show is at 1, so you might miss that show. But if you just want to see the characters, interact with them, and maybe catch the Stars of the Saga, which is 4:30, you can do that. So that sounds like a great idea. Go to Epcot during the day, and then 3 or 4, head to Star Hollywood Studios.
And I would add to that to you also get the fireworks in doing that, right? That will definitely be there. A couple of things that I would say. I could see doing this. Leverage the fast passes. If you're headed to Epcot in the morning, that's cool, but you can do fast passes at Hollywood Studios. Pick the Star Wars Weekends events that you might want to attend. Have your Fast Pass ready for that in the afternoon, so when you get back from your nap, maybe you have Toy Story Mania waiting for you, and then you have a Star Wars something happening as well, one of the stage shows. What you're going to miss are the autographs, the celebrity motorcade, and the Stormtrooper entrance. And if you're okay with that, absolutely not a problem. Those are the things that you might not be able to catch because those happen in the morning. Other than that, I think it sounds great. It's a balance, as always. Epcot's not that far away. You can always boat it over, but if you're going to head back to take a nap, I highly recommend that. And it's going to come down to looking for a map, looking for a times guide, determining who will be there autograph-wise for the weekend that you're there, if that's important to you or not. Which, let me see, I might have it right here. It's Warwick Davis, Daniel Logan, who's Boba Fett, and Steve Bloom, who is a voice for one of the Star Wars Rebels. So the question would come down to Warwick Davis and whether or not you're interested in getting his autograph or anything along those lines. Have a great time, and thanks for the question. Remember, questions at the Disney Nerds.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much. That was a really awesome question. And you're going to have a blast. I really envy all of you guys being able to go down to Star Wars weekends. Hopefully someday I'll be able to get there, but we'll see. So anyway, that is it for tonight. Thank you very much for listening to show number 82. Thank you very much, John, for coming on and helping us out.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. And Sam, as always, the knowledge, all the knowledge in your head is paying off.
See that? And my wife told me I was crazy.
Yeah, well, there you go.
May the force be with you.
And you guys are all going down, so have a blast. And yeah, definitely. I can't wait to get back and hear all about it.
I will have lots of audio, too.
Excellent.
As many things as I can. So. Thanks, Ed.
Yep, I will talk to you guys later. Have a good night. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hey, sorry, folks. I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first